The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
And welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Hamir Halgrimson's coaching team sign new deals. Irish on the Move will bring you the latest deals to happen involving Irish footballers and those moves that fell through. And as the English transfer window slammed shut last night, we look back on a monster window for the Premier League clubs. But first, the FAI has confirmed that John O'Shea and Paddy McCarthy have signed new contracts. Both men will be part of Hamir Halgrimson's coaching team until the end of Euro 2028, which will be held in Ireland and the UK. McCarthy will also continue to combine his roles with Ireland and Crystal Palace, while goalkeeping coach Gudmundur Hreiðarsson has also agreed a new deal. Ireland are back in action this month. First up, it's Kosovo away from home on the 24th of September in the Nations League, before games with Israel and Austria in a two-week-long international window. And the podcast that focuses on all things Irish football was back this week. Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson were on the green scene, and one of the talking points this week was whether Matt Doherty would be drafted back into the squad and why he's sometimes perceived in a negative manner by Ireland fans.
Potentially, unfortunately for Matt Doherty, he has this kind of running style which is quite similar to, I know Jake Mullaney has as well, to pick a League of Ireland example, where, like, you know, your shoulders are kind of slumped and you look like you're running, you're kind of jogging along when you're moving. I think that gives off the impression a lot of times that he can be lazy. I don't think it helps when you have situations like the Hungary home game where, you know, you're in a position where you are the last person to move out and you've kept someone offside when people already have a predisposition that you're a lazy player. I don't think stuff like that helps it. I think because he looks like that when he runs all the time, when a mistake happens, which is bound to happen when you're playing the defence in international football, it looks a lot worse. I just think that the general Irish fan maybe has a perception about him that not necessarily is true. Like, but I would kind of wonder where his days in Ireland shirt just kind of done anyway. Looking at the nature of playing club football, I know Seamus Coleman obviously is playing even less minutes than that, but we know the reasons for picking Coleman. We know what he gives you off the pitch. Matt Doherty is not the vocal leader off the pitch that Seamus Coleman is. Matthew, be interested to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have too much to go and caveat what you've just said there. I think in general as well, he just has been involved in a lot of the bad games. And I know a lot of these players have, so I don't know if that really holds much weight. But I think back to Greece at home as well, with obviously Christos Solis, who's gone on to a pretty decent day a couple of years after that. But there's just been a couple of those different instances, and you do get an awful lot of it when you're in the stands and you're watching the games as a fan. He does misplace a pass or that sort of stuff. He does get jumped on maybe more than other players. And as you say, I'm not sure that's entirely fair, but I'm just not 100% sold on what he can actually add at this stage as well. I know we're talking about how limited we are at right back, and it's just funny as well, like, in recent times, he hasn't really played as a wing back for the Republic of Ireland either. When he's been in the squad, he's, you know, that Hungary game at home, he was sort of playing in the left side of defence, which was a bit bizarre. And again, you have to put your players in the right positions to try and get the best out of them. But if he's not viewed as someone who can contribute in the position he's most comfortable, there's no point in bringing him in to sandwich him in somewhere else in the squad.
And remember, you can listen to The Green Scene each and every week in your OTB Football podcast feed for free, and it's also available on YouTube. Now, in terms of the Irish internationals on the move, Chidozie Ogbeni has joined Lincoln on loan from Ipswich. That's until January. He spent last season on loan with Sheffield United and will return to the Championship with a Lincoln side promoted from League One last season. And there he'll link up with fellow Irishmen Josh Honahan and Mason Melia. Preston also confirmed that Ireland striker Johnny Kenny has arrived in a permanent deal from Celtic. The Sligo man has agreed a four-year deal with the Championship club. Kenny, who spent part of last season on loan with Bolton in League One, has been capped twice by Ireland. Defender Warren O'Hara has joined Leicester from Hibs for an undisclosed fee. The 27-year-old, who played for Bowes, made 85 appearances for Hibs after arriving from MK Dons in the summer of 2024. He was the captain on a number of occasions. He had expressed a desire to return to England, and he'll link up with Leicester boss Russell Martin, who he played under in Milton Keynes. Ireland under 21 defender Sam Curtis has joined League One side Cambridge on loan from Sheffield United. It'll be the fourth loan move for the 20-year-old former St Pat's defender since he left the League of Ireland in 2024. Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper Alex Noonan is set to join Ipswich, although Jake O'Brien remains at Everton amid doubts over his future. Alan Brown's prospective loan deal to Preston from Sunderland fell through at the last minute, and former Ireland underage international Aaron Cashin has left Brighton to rejoin Derby on loan. Manchester City landed a double deal on deadline day, with Enzo Fernandez and Illimin Ndiaye both joining the club. Fernandez was a joint British record transfer fee, arriving for £125 million from Chelsea. Ndiaye was brought in from Everton for £65 million and told City TV it was a nerve-wracking 24 hours.
Obviously, I probably speak for myself, but I have a family, you know, I have kids, and, you know, you don't want to be waiting to the last minute. So yeah, it could be a bit stressful because you kind of want to know early. At this point, I can say that it's the best thing that's happened to me as late as it could be, you know.
Newcastle brought in Belgium forward Matheus Fernandes Pardo from Lille for €60 million. The 21-year-old was Newcastle's eighth signing of a transfer window that also saw Eddie Howe replaced by Matthias Jäisle. Anthony Gordon, Sandro Tonali and Bruno Guimaraes were all sold for a total of around €290 million. Barcelona have confirmed that Gabriel Jesus joined from Arsenal on a permanent deal. That fee is believed to be in the region of €10 million. The Brazil striker was only the 12th player to win the Premier League title with two different clubs, having done so with Arsenal and Manchester City. One striker who won't be leaving Spain for London is Julian Alvarez. The Argentine remains with Atletico Madrid, despite publicly stating he wanted to leave the club. Spanish football writer for The Athletic, Dermot Corrigan, joined Owen Shane on the football show last night and said any potential movement looks to be on ice for the time being.
Is the Julian Alvarez saga on ice until the next window?
It looks like it. It's one of the things that might happen. It's one of the reasons that I came down this evening, just in case, kind of to see what it might happen. But I think so. It's dragged on all summer. It's been the saga of the summer here in Spain, and maybe the biggest one around Europe as well. And in the end, you know, Atletico stuck. They wanted €150 million for him at least. Barca weren't willing to pay that. And it got very awkward between the two clubs. There've been exchanging barbs and insults really over the last couple of weeks. And it looks like Julian is going to be stuck at Atletico. There was, you know, Arsenal maybe had a look at coming in to get him. There was talk maybe of Man City. I've been going back there, but Julian was pretty sure he wanted to move to Barcelona. If he could move to Barcelona, he was going to stay at Atletico. And despite the fact that a lot of people at Atletico were very angry at him, as we saw when he came on against Villarreal there about a week ago, he's going to have to suck it up and to rebuild those relationships that have been broken with the people at Atletico.
What will change in the next window if we're back to a very similar place again? Will it still be very much expecting $150 million? For the player, because like the contract is what, until 2029, maybe even 2030. So there's a fair whack of time yet to go on that. I can't imagine the fee is going to be reduced too much. And Atletico, as we know, will want to try and fleece Barcelona on this one.
Yeah, the relationships between the clubs have just broken down completely. Like Atletico are super angry at how Barcelona have conducted themselves. And you can understand to a point. We're doing a piece on it. There'll be a big piece coming up on The Athletic over the next couple of days between some of my colleagues around the different clubs and in England as well. And, you know, Atletico or something broke down. Atletico felt they had an agreement with Julian that if he found a club they're willing to pay $150 million, then he could go. Not sure where the communication broke down, but Barcelona reckoned they were going to be able to get him for less than that. It hasn't turned out that way. And it's going to be a depreciating asset maybe for Atletico. Maybe he'll come back in, maybe he settles back in, starts scoring goals again, starts playing really well and living up to, you know, the reputation he has. He's a really, really good player. But if he's, you know, not enjoying himself at Atletico, if he's not in the team, if his performances aren't great, then, you know, his price is going to go down. And Atletico are going to be stuck in a position maybe where either they accept a lower bid from Barcelona, which they really don't want to do, or maybe somebody else comes in and gets him as an opportunity you know, in January or next summer.
And remember, you can listen back to that in full in your OTB Football podcast feed. And if you don't want to miss any of our football coverage, become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Kevin Danzo joined Sunderland on a year-long loan from Tottenham. That should lead to a formal £25 million transfer for the Austria centre-half next summer. Malik Fofana eventually decided to join Sunderland over Crystal Palace. Fulham brought in a third player from Real Madrid. Manuel Angel followed Cesar Palacios and Gonzalo Garcia from the Spanish giants. And Aston Villa completed the signings of Ibrahim Mbaye and Taylor Harwood-Bellis on deadline day. Celtic will have to do without Kieran Tierney, Casper Hu and Callum Osmond for tonight's Premier League clash at home to Aberdeen. With the transfer window in Scotland open until Thursday, assistant manager Sean Maloney refused to be drawn on potential new signings. Instead, he praised the Celtic support for sticking with the team in the aftermath of last week's dramatic Champions League exit to LASK.
What I would say is that coming off the back of that last game, coming off the bus, we actually got a brilliant reception from our fans before the Falkirk game, which I wouldn't underestimate, because that wasn't quite sure how that was going to be. It was a really difficult night to get that reception of the fans from the bus and within the stadium was actually really positive.
Rangers boss Derek McInnes says they have to back up their first league win of the season by getting another one against Falkirk tonight. Rangers got off the mark with a 1-0 win away to Aberdeen on Sunday.
Hopefully getting the win gives us a bit more confidence, a bit more belief, and certainly a bit more confidence that we can go and cause teams problems, because I don't think we've done that enough from the start of the season.
McInnes will have to watch from the stands tonight as he starts a two-match touchline ban. He was punished for comments he made about officials during the end of last season, when he was still in charge of Hearts. West Ham boss Nuno Espirito Santo praised the all-round performance of his team after they beat his former club Wolves 4-2 last night. Divine Mukasa got two goals for the hosts at the London Stadium. It was West Ham's first championship win of the season, and Nuno says it was a result they certainly needed.
I'm delighted, happy for our fans, happy for the players that have been working so hard, the fans that have been supporting so much. And finally we have a deserved win. I think we play good, so we deserve to win.
Elsewhere last night, Adam Eda scored for Swansea in their 2-0 win over Watford, which maintained their unbeaten start of the season, and it also moved them top of the table. Sheffield United scored a late goal on their 3-2 win over Bolton. A slight tangent delved into several topics this week, but with Lionel Messi announcing his retirement from international football earlier this week, Arthur O'D, Michael McCarthy and Owen spoke about the saddest sporting retirements they can remember.
What was your saddest retirement as a sports fan?
What a question.
You take that, because
I can't think.
Shane O'Donnell there.
That's an amazing question.
Do you have one? Again, off the hook of Gooch. Yeah. That's a great one.
100%, because it ended in disappointment as well. Like he came up on the big screen walking. They very rarely have somebody following you down the tunnel on the big screen in Croke Park.
Was it 15 in the final?
No, it was 2016. The great semi-final, and somebody was following him down the tunnel, which they very rarely do, and there was a chance it was going to be his last game, and sure enough it was, and there was no happy ending.
That's sensational.
Yeah, did he even play that day? I think he played.
Do you remember 14 when he did his cruciate?
Yeah.
And I was at the All-Ireland final and he togged out and there was rumour he might be back. And I was sitting kind of like in the lower Hogan, like right, kind of like with the bench kind of over my right shoulder, and just kind of like spending like way too long of an All-Ireland final watching Gooch to see was he warming up. But he was that, like, and that's as a neutral. Like, this is, he was, yeah. And he's another one that you couldn't believe got old.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I love that question. I'm going to have a proper think about that. Like, there's loads.
Can you have a think about it in the next 2 seconds and give us an answer right now?
Like, I was probably too young to be like thinking about, I hadn't lived with it long enough, but there was definitely a certain level of kind of teenage trauma around Roy Keane leaving Man United. It wasn't such a retirement, but there was, like, because that had been the centre thing for so long. It's not the exact same though, I'd say. You've not seen the bulk of their career and everything else, you know. So that was only later, but we'll get a good clip
out
of that.
You could be ready for them, I find, a lot as well. So it's because, like, you know, say someone like Roger Federer, always loved watching him, always loved him hanging on. But like, by the time he was finished, you're kind of saying, like, you know, that's been a career now. Don't really need to see you struggling like Djokovic in the first round of the US Open. You know, I think it's okay now that you've gone out kind of like while you're still about competitive but not quite good enough to win anymore. So yeah, God, we might think of something between now and the second half question. Of the show.
Love that.
And that's available to listen back to now in your OTB Daily podcast feed and on YouTube as well for free. That's all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.